Hi, I'm Karina. I'm the Music Ministry Director at Every Nation Auckland City. We are a multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples. We hope this message inspires you to honour God and make disciples.
It's been said before that church is both an organism and an organisation. I'm not sure whether you've heard that. I've read that on several occasions, and I love that. Church is an organism. It's people. It's humans. It's living, breathing, emotional, moving things. I don't know what the technical definition of organism is, but it's that. But you do realize that there does also need to be some organizational aspects to a church. Did you know that? Like, we have an actual organizational chart. We have actual job. We have an actual accountant. We produce a set of accounts by external auditors. There's all kinds of, you know, communication lines and objectives. And, you know, it takes actually organization to do what we do today. Like, there's actually a thing called, believe it or not, health and safety. It's not all about organization, right? Because it's all about, really, it's people. But you need, in order to sustain the growing number of people and to train and equip and do what we do, it requires organization. So they're like two circles that overlap. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody say organism. Organization. You need both. A few times a year, I like to get up here and communicate to you about our direction as a local church. What are the priorities? What's ahead? What's happening? Are we just like a hamster on the wheel, just going through the motions, running meetings and kind of hoping for the best? This kind of ethereal, conceptual, spiritual organism where, you know, we just kind of do our thing. But what's actually going to happen? What's our focus? What's our priorities? Because we actually believe, I happen to believe, that what we have in terms of stewarding the gospel is the most important message in the whole world. Can someone say amen? I'm going to make you work a little bit this morning because I need a bit of encouragement. We need both organism and organization. So we have a few times a year, maybe four or five, and usually there's a couple right at close to the beginning of the year. And here we are in April, believe it or not, time is flying. And I wanted to have a different kind of sermon, a different kind of message to let you know, remind you what our vision is and what some direction looks like. You realize vision is a great source of hope. Did you know that? I've been flying on airplanes in the last few days. I've got three flights between here and Christmas, Honolulu, Philippines, Fiji. I mean, all these things going on. Did you know an aircraft began with a vision? Building a big ship began, it started with a vision. Electricity that we all enjoy and utilize this morning and even right now in this moment began with a vision, because vision leads you and I to your purpose. It defines things. And my hope is that you personally have a vision. My belief, my premise, my biblical but also just logical understanding is that you are a miracle, dear friend. That you are born of God. You are created and formed in your mother's womb, and you are unique. And you may look like other people in terms of language and skin tone. You may have similar professional ambitions and marital status, but you are a unique person. And I believe you have purpose in God. You're not just a mindless, I don't know, some humanoid that's walking around. But you have the image of God inside of you, that God would have even unique projects and purposes and callings for your life. Who believes what I'm saying this morning? I believe you do. I believe God has a blueprint for every human being. And the enemy wants to rob your people of that, distract them from that, oppress them, get them drowning in their addictions or whatever other kind of bondage they might be in, that so they don't discover the purpose of God for their lives. And I can tell you today, firsthand, even after plenty of mistakes, plenty of rebellion, the purpose of God's don't change. He brings you back on track and he leads you on. You have purpose. Why don't you talk to your neighbor? Tell him. Just remind him, you've got purpose. Go and tell him, you've got purpose. Oh no, I need to hear more volume than that. Some of you just sitting there like I'm not talking. Turn to the person beside you and say, you have purpose. Praise God, there we go. We're doing this together today, people. This is not TV land, okay? It's not Netflix. I can see and hear you, praise God. And we as a church community also have a vision from God. There's an Old Testament prophet, his name is Habakkuk. Some of you know him as Habakkuki or something like that. That does sound a little bit kooky, to be honest. So Habakkuk. And Habakkuk was complaining to God. And can I tell you why he was complaining? He was complaining because he and the nation of Judah at that time were stuck. They were the hamster on the wheel. They were stuck in their growth, not making progress, passive, idle, lethargic. What's going on? Where's the direction? He's frustrated in a good way, and he brings his complaint to the Lord, and he brings it not just once, but actually for a second time. Anybody get a great deal of satisfaction from complaining? He likes to complain. Whinge and moan. That's Habakkuk. He's a whinging, moaning kind of fella. Bit like me sometimes. Oh God. There he is. He's stuck. Stuck in the here and now. Do you feel stuck? Get me out of this. Boring. The grind. That's Habakkuk. But he's not just doing it for himself. He's thinking about the nation of Judah at that time. And they were desperate for a fresh sense of optimism, a fresh sense of hope beyond the here and now. So we're going to listen to what God told Habakkuk. He complained, and God didn't slap him around the chops for complaining. He actually answered his prayer. Reminds me a little bit of Jonah. God's pretty good with the raw conversation. Did you know that? So Habakkuk chapter 2, and you can stay seated on this occasion, but I want to invite the lovely Si to read out. Where are you, Si? There we are. You can stay right there and read out Habakkuk 2, 1 to 3. This is kind of our main text. Thank you, Si.
I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. God bless the reading of his word.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Si. That's lovely. So write the vision down and make it plain. And it's such a dad joke, but of course that is where we find the first tablet in human history. I know, it was so bad. We're gonna move on. But he needed to articulate it. And why did he need to write it down? It wasn't just a verbal thing. And why did he need to keep it plain? Because vision is the antidote for distraction. A clear picture of the future. In fact, one author described vision as a picture of the future that sparks emotion. It has an emotional response. You can begin to see it. You can see yourself a part of that vision of the future. And vision generates energy, clarity. When you know what God's called you to do, when you've got a vision, whether it's an NGO, a micro thing, or a business, or some authoring a book, or starting a company, when you've got a clear vision from God, then it's easier to say no to other things. But when you don't have a clear vision, you're saying yes to everything or no to everything, or yes to the wrong things and no to the right things. You understand what I'm trying to say? Do you have a vision for your life? You personally, have you written it down? I know there's general stuff, you know, be a good person, be a good dad, be a good mum, or whatever it might be. But what about specifics? Do you know why you are on the planet? Besides paying the bills and watching The Good Doctor on Netflix or Attenborough, whatever it is. Why are you here? Just to procreate? What are you here for? Animals do that. Why are we here for? Good question. Great sermon title. Why are you here? Do you have a vision for your life? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. I think I prefer the New King James. It says, they cast off restraint. There's nothing anchoring them, nothing to say yes and no, no filter to kind of pencil out and shape the future. We know we don't have all the details on the future, but a general sense of direction, a general sense of contribution to human race, a general sense of how am I going to be able to contribute to the kingdom of God? Every believer needs a vision beyond themselves. Come on now. Amen. Amen. On the front row, amen.
Amen.
Hey, now we're talking. I'm just a little bit excited this morning. And we can't blame jet lag. It was only Christchurch. All right. No, seriously. I've been meaning to get into this space for a long time, to be honest. Get up the watchtower, look out, and declare and remind who and what we're all about, not just slipping in here at 11:45 for a service every couple of weeks. Do you know the vision of the church that you belong to? Back in 2014, when this church, ENACT, was formed, actually it was November, and every Wednesday in November of 2013, that a group of us met in different lounges and were articulating and clarifying the blueprint that would last us for as long as we could see. And the way we framed it was, we asked two simple questions. Why? Because actually I'm just a simple guy, not complicated. And sometimes I find visionary statements and purpose statements and all that a little bit highfalutin and conceptual. So we just wanted to get a little bit practical and a bit real and say, who are we? And what do we do? What do we do as a local church? What do we bring to the tapestry of the body of Christ? And all, we're not trying to be like those people, and they're not trying to be like, what do we bring? Because I believe it's going to be more than one church to reach New Zealand for Jesus. We need all of the churches, the Bible-believing, Spirit-filled churches, to play their part. Who are we? We are a multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples. We love multicultures. We want to see more cultures come into this church. More nations from South America, Africa, and Europe, and all across Asia and around the world, the Pacific Islands. Praise God, we love and embrace cultures. We're not trying to be monocultural. I would not be the pastor if this was monocultural. Okay? We love multi-generational. We're constantly thinking of ways and channels that we can bring young people up to do stuff in the life of the church and release them outside the church to live radically for Jesus Christ. We love the culture. We are a socially responsible church. I'm plagued with the question, if this church did not exist, would the city even know? Wouldn't it be cool one day to get to a point where we're so effective in the city that even the mayor gives us a phone call every now and then, saying, what's going on? Here's the needs in the city. Let's pray. What kind of social services can you provide? Wouldn't that be cool? That the church, the steward of the gospel, both in proclamation and demonstration, would be consulted. Powerful, powerful. I think we've got a long way to go to have that kind of credibility and influence. But you don't have to be the biggest to have that influence. Did you know that? Big doesn't mean influential. Praise God. That's who we are. What do? We honor God by planting churches that redeem campuses and communities throughout New Zealand, or Aotearoa, New Zealand. And why is this important? Well, first of all, it's from God. I feel a divine stewardship in my heart. This is not a good idea. It wasn't voted on. It wasn't just a survey amongst the people, some generic, insipid statement. Everyone's happy. No, it's very specific. If we're not planting churches, we're not doing what God's called us to be. intrinsically in what we be, who we are and what we do. It's missional. It's beyond the four walls of the church. I'm not giving my life and my energy to just keep a few hundred people happy in the building. That's not what this is about, ladies and gentlemen. I praise God for you and I, but we need to work together to go beyond these four walls. Amen. Thank you, Ian. I appreciate the vocal response. It's absolutely true. It's from God. Number two, the reason why this is really important, we've got what we do over here, the reason why that's really important is so we don't cast off restraint. We don't lose our bearings. We don't start comparing with other churches and losing our distinctive flavor and being, in a good way, proud of who we are. We will never stop doing discipleship, making disciples. We're not fixated on crowd. We want to make disciples. That's the main thing. That's the one thing that Jesus said to go and do. And what did he say? He said, go. That's why discipleship does not begin with Christians. It begins with lost people. When he said, go and make disciples, he said, go beyond the four walls. Get out of here. Get in the streets. Get dirty. Get messy. Mix it up with people. Take the message of hope and forgiveness. Meanwhile, Christians are fixated with gathering and buildings and twisting their air conditioning and making it much, much nicer. And I'm going to the next church because there's a better car park. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. And the other reason why we have it written down plain and simple, who we are and what we do, is that we, you and I might run with it. That we might run. It creates momentum. Clarity creates momentum. It also creates decisions for people. Well, I don't feel a part of that. Then find where you need to be a part of. Seriously, we're not the church for everyone. No church is the church for everyone, no matter what they might say. It's why we have different restaurants. It's why we have the diversity of its kind. It's good because people are different. And vision, while we all come under the banner of, should do at least, under making disciples, the way we do it and what we focus on and different aspects is looks different and it should be different. This is what we do. What we do is plant churches that reach campuses and communities. It's what we should be doing at least. That's the measuring stick that we keep coming back to. Are we moving the needle? Next week, I'm excited to communicate with you what things look like in the future as best I can. I don't have it absolutely clear. And I think that's good that God gives you enough to give you enough light to keep moving forward, right? But next week's focus and theme is about the future, the next year's coming up. And I'm actually particularly excited about that because it's really coming from God, not just some marketing campaign. It's a God thing which produces confidence. But today, I want to press pause and I want to acknowledge past and present. Today, if you want to bang a title on it, let's call it Great is Thy Faithfulness. Yes, we're looking forward as a church. We're not the sort of people that keep navel-gazing and looking back and thinking about the good old days and living in the good old days. I want to look forward to what God's got for us. In fact, I happen to believe quite confidently and sincerely that our best days are ahead. We're only 10 years old as Every Nation Auckland City. It's beautiful. I want to pause and reflect. Reflect upon God's faithfulness in our church. How does that sound? Now, this may surprise you on a Sunday morning, but I'm actually going to give you just a few quick numbers. Spoiler alert for some people, brace yourself. There's even going to be a chart. Well, Pastor, that's just not right. Yes, it is. I like to tell people, there's even a book in the Bible called Numbers. Numbers matter to God. They actually do. You don't live for the number, but it tells you. Are you, you know, your dashboard on your car tells you, am I speeding, am I not? It does help. And I think it's important. Great is thy faithfulness. Here's just a couple of KPIs, and this is just over the last year, bearing in mind we're one church in three locations, Auckland, Hamilton, and Rotorua. We've got a few folks in Tauranga traveling across for that. We're kind of figuring out what God wants to do with that. But we're in three locations. Last weekend, John Mendoza and his wife, well, no, just he was actually, because Abby was sick, was down in Rotorua, meeting with them and encouraging them and stirring them up. We're praying about what God wants to do down there. So across us as a church, just really simply, here we go. Firstly, we have 47 connect groups. Fantastic. Praise God. Honestly, that's my main KPI, not attendance. If those grow and they're missional, that will make everything else will just follow suit. The more groups we multiply, the more leaders we raise, as they are focused primarily on reaching unsaved people, safe places to have food and communication, express their doubts, have their queries, develop and seek God and find out what faith looks like. 47 connect groups, I think that's pretty phenomenal. I think it's, personally, I think it's certainly as important as Sunday attendance. This is living, breathing, vibrant small groups from Silverdale down to Pocono, deep west out to deep east, all across. It's in around Hamilton as well, and even in Rotorua. We've got three of them happening down in Rotorua. Communities, organisms of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit with the gospel reaching out. It's powerful. Next thing, over the last year, we've had 55 new members join our church. Can we give God praise for that? I really honor God for that. Different nations, different people. 55, that's great. There are many churches smaller than that. That's just in the last 12 months that God's brought many, many new people, and I'm grateful for that. Now, I'm going to ask, where are you? Dana, can you stand up, Dana? Thank you, Dana. No, just stay standing. I'm just using you. Is that all right? I'm just using you like a tool. There's no emotional connection here at all. You're just, okay, all right? Okay, there's Dana, one person. How valuable is this person? We know Dana, but try to take the Dana label. How valuable is a life? Extremely valuable. What is the potential impact of one life? Very, very high. You may have a surname of Zuckerberg. Very high. This last year, you stay standing. Can I get 12 people right there to stand up? The first 12. 12 of you. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. No, stay standing. 12. Okay, can I get 17 people standing here? 17. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That should equal 29. One life is valuable. One life can change the world. In the last 12 months, we've had 29 people baptized in water, declaring their faith in Christ. You can take a seat. Never lose the value and the potential of one life. Next thing I want you to know, I think this is really cool. This is just, I'm so grateful for this. Thank you, Mark and John. I asked the question, how much money do we give to missions? Local missions and international missions, whether it's the Maui Relief or World Vision or Campus Ministry, Compassion Ministry, a whole range of areas. How much have we given in the last 12 months to missions? And I can tell you, it's just over $184,000. That's remarkable. 19 point whatever percent of our income. Not consumed. Not to give us all lazy boy chairs to sit in on a Sunday morning. But to go beyond. And think about those who are trying, can you imagine trying to do life without Jesus? With no security, no future hope, or putting all that in the almighty dollar. Amazing, or the opinions of other people. I'm so proud of that. I think that's just stunning. And here comes the graph. Now, this is interesting. Before the graph goes up, what is interesting, I think every church has found the same thing. How do you get a broader perspective, say, of the last 10 years? We've been living as an entity formed in 2014, because when throughout COVID, for those COVID years and post-COVID, attendance numbers, I mean, how do you know who's attending, right? Viewership, and does one view equal 10 people? And everyone lost their kind of their bearings in terms of KPIs. And so we thought, what can we go to give us a sense or what God's been doing over the stretch of time that we've been in existence? And so we simply went to the numbers, the giving numbers, actually, because usually money follows the heart. That's what Jesus tells us. And so we went to the numbers, because every year we have external auditors that go through everything with a fine-tooth comb, and we publish, this is all published on the charities commission. You can look at any charity, how much they earned and how much they spent on their website. It's right there. This is straight off their website. Let's put that up. That's the income for Enac in the last 10 years. That's the growth. That reflects the numerical growth, the maturity growth. The last 6 or 7 years has brought Hamilton involved, one church all the way through. So in 10 years, we've gone from just under $400,000 of income to nearly $1.319 million. That's got an asterisk beside it. It may be slightly higher when we get the final results. The year end has just passed. So that is probably it. It's a minimum. It may be a little bit higher. For that, I think we can give praise and honor to Jesus Christ. Can we do that? So despite the seasons and the changes of church life and people and comings and goings, in fact, we have grown every year since we began. That's a good thing to know. Praise God Almighty. Great is God's faithfulness. Would you agree with that? Great is His faithfulness. Praise Jesus. This is what I want to do, is just give you a quick sneak peek into two ministries that are, you would call internal, let's call it that, and then two ministries that are external. This is just over the last year. I just want you to be encouraged. Does anybody want a bit of encouragement this morning? That you're actually a part of something that's going somewhere. Let's take two of the internal ministries. Our kids' church. Praise God. In the last 12 months, it's only just midway through last year, we were able to see new stable leadership come into that ministry. And I'm so excited to have had TJ on staff. He's still on staff. I'm hoping he's going to be around for a long time. We saw our kids' church ministry resume their weekly program. It wasn't always weekly post-COVID. They've been busy developing leaders. I'm hoping that parents here can see that, can feel that. There's been a revitalization of the whole ministry to try and make it so it's more engaging for children. They launched quite an effective online parenting workshop, and they ran events to build and strengthen relationships while focusing and teaching our children about small group discipleship. So when they get a little bit older, it's not unusual. It's normal to be in a small group, just like Jesus, the original Connect Group leader with his 12 guys there. And can you remember, not that long ago in March, we had our first E&K, or Every Nation Kids band, right here at National Kids Day. Remember that? Wasn't that powerful? Bring it on. Let's make it normal. Let's make it normal. Let's see the generations up here all the time. I'm so glad to see the great leadership and the strength and the new level that we're at in our kids' ministry. Let's move on to youth. Yo! The second internal ministry. You know, they started with 9, now we've got 24 youth, and not all of them come to this church. Not all of them follow Jesus. Small. Once again, we appointed new directors, Josh and Kat. Kat, where are you? Josh, are you here or are you upstairs? They're upstairs doing it, right? We're so proud of them. It's a new thing for them. And sometimes that's actually a really good thing. It's just trusting God. They built a great, great team. They really have. A fantastic team up there. They're working smart, not just hard, but both. There's momentum building. There's a real growing relational unity and missional fervor. Things that are happening among the youth that they haven't even sort of dictated or led. They've just, kids are saying, let's begin to meet and study the Bible. Let's begin to talk to our friends. You wouldn't believe what goes on here on a Friday night. It's fantastic, and I'm really, really grateful for that. They've actually finally, after many years of hoping and trying, they're actually building partnership relationships with parents, because parents are the first disciples. Parents, you cannot delegate discipleship to the church. That's your job. We're there to support you. We're there to encourage you, weep with you, hang with you, do everything we can to serve. But ultimately, they're with you for a whole lot longer than we get the youth on a Friday night. So we're praying. We're there to supplement and help you with that discipleship. And that's our philosophy. Parents first, church second. I love that. Praise God. There's so many other areas of ministry, of internal ministry that we could talk about. We haven't got time today. So I'm going to go from internal to external. Everyone good with that? All right. Two external ministries. Let's talk about campus. Yes. Right there. Interesting in the last 12 months, because it has been a real shift and change, a time of re-evaluation. You see, we're never not going to focus on campus. Did you know that? The reason why we do that is because the future leaders of the country are on campus. The people who have been orchestrating the demise of New Zealand and its morality and its policy and its direction, a lot of the ideology was propagated some years ago on campus. We must reach the campus. That's where you get the leaders of a nation. And I'm so grateful for the leadership of Pastor Wee Yong and Karina and others around. We've been down there prayer walking, myself included. Can you believe it? I'm a granddaddy, but I'm down there prayer walking around campus because I want a different country for my Mokopuna. I want a different country for your children. I want a different future for this great nation. And so that's where we strategically pray. You're welcome to join us if you would like to do that. We've actually entered into, in the last 12 months, a partnership with a fruitful ministry, a solid ministry called Student Life. And we've partnered together because there's clear alignment with the way we want to do things. And so together, our evangelistic presence and impact is increased. So we're actually in partnership with them. It's informal. It's very relational. We're really quite excited about it, called Student Life. If you've heard of them, they come out of Campus Crusade for Life. They've got a huge background. They're credible. They're gospel-centered. They're Christ-centered. And we partner with them. It's really, really cool. So that's what's happening on our campus. And the other ministry I wanted you to be aware of, I think most of us probably are, but it's been such a highlight of the last 12 months, it kind of got me all a bit fizzy and poppy and excited, and that's compassion, the compassion ministry. I think it's a really significant launch or thing that we started last year. A significant highlight of last year was our social responsibility arm, which we call Project Compassion, led by Abby Mendoza, who's away somewhere on a beach working on that tan, I suppose. What we want is a multifaceted, sustainable, there's that word, and effective outreach program to mobilize all of us. It's not one person to do it. So we've got a whole bunch of projects there. There's more coming down the pipeline. I think you've seen different things going on in the life of the church. We're really excited about this. And we believe that the demonstration of the gospel through social ministry like this will open the way for the gospel to be proclaimed, for lives to be changed and transformed. And already we're seeing people, in fact, I could tell you stories right now of people that were resistant to God, but actually because Abby and the team are there, they began to open up about trauma in their lives. Homeless people talking about their lives. Amazing. Just one conversation, you can change everything. I'm so, so proud of what Abby's doing and the team, Rita and others on that team, her husband John, really, really good. We want to really engage those who are less privileged than us in Auckland here, going beyond the four walls. Amen? So there's a range of things happening. Can you remember that World Vision morning? That World Vision, I'm so proud of us. You, did you know we're the highest percentage that signed up? Did you know that? Matt Buchanan, the relations manager guy, came and saw me just week before last, brought us a lovely gift and brought us this picture, which is hanging on the wall out there, of the 46 children, our whānau in Uganda, that we're all partnering with. I love it. Even our youth They're actually supporting one of these young people up here out of the youth budget. I love this. And so there's been so many good things happening in our compassion ministry. Can you see now, my friends, it's a lot more than attending a service now and then. This is church. And Lise, why don't we stick with the two patterns, two internal ministries and two external ministries. I just wanted to acknowledge two particularly important teams or significant teams in the last 12 months. And the first one is our elders. Can we put that slide up? I just want to go on record of honoring our elders. And there they are. In case you're wondering, those are our Alfred Mabasa, Elvira Mabasa, Pastor Wee Yong, Chrissy and I, of course. Garni and Cherry are still on sabbatical around about mid this year. They're going to come out of that. And Pastor Joshua. These precious people here have stayed firm through storms. They've stayed firm through changes. They, I believe, have almost been the greatest instrument of God's faithfulness demonstrated in us as a church family. Behind the scenes, remaining strong in faith. Strong in God, and I thank God for them all. Can we give a round of applause for our elders? The second group, which is, I'm sorry, I don't have the photos today, and it's always a risk when you mention people's names because, oh, well, I didn't get mentioned. So, and I know what it's like, right? It's like when we're all the same. You look at that photo that you're in, what do? You go straight to your own self, right? How do I look? How's the hair? Like, you know, the girls do this kind of thing to make sure the legs don't look, you know, I mean, it's amazing. We all look at that picture, right? Which is always us. We're so fixated on me. Okay. Anyway, but we're going to do it. Can I ask my staff, vocational staff, part-time or full-time, can I invite you please to stand to your feet? Karina, Willie, please stand. Raymond, if you're here. Is Raymond here? I can't quite see the lights. Raymond's here. John and Abby are not here. Pastor Weong is not here. TJ's serving. Josh and Kat are upstairs. Jez, are you here? Or is she up with youth? This is probably the worst day possible to do this. Okay. Who organized this thing? I have to blame somebody. Chrissy, of course. No, just joking, just joking. Forgive me, darling. Forgive me. Thank you. And thank you to all the staff. Thank you. You can have a seat. Again, they've remained firm and strong, even with changes and swirling around on staff. And I praise God for their faithfulness to Him and also to the vision of this house and to me personally. Praise God. You know, all of our staff need to be disciples first. I don't care how skilled they are, how talented they are. They need to have a living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, and if they have a few skills as well, that's awesome. We want both, but we'd never trade on relationship with God, both being a disciple and wanting to make disciples. Really proud of my staff. I think they're incredible. Really are. Let's go back to Habakkuk. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it, he or she, I should say. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not die. If it seems slow, God, can we get to the next year, please? Let's get out of this funk. Let's get over this moment. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. I am more persuaded now than ever before that God has appointed times. When God seems to be delaying things and going down what seems like an unusual route, He's got wisdom behind it. He's got a much grander plan that He's trying to do and work through. Amen to that. You see, Habakkuk realized, he knew, and the Bible teaches about seasons, teaches about times, and the vision that is from God, it will happen. It will happen. But sometimes you've got to do pruning. Sometimes you've got to slow down and work a little deep on foundations in order to get it ready to move on into greater fruit and greater expansion. It will not lie. He's not lied. The vision remains strong. I love the writer of Ecclesiastes. He's recorded this idea of seasons most famously in that text. You hear it everywhere. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck, and what pluck up what is planted. And that is true for life, and that is true for churches. Whether it's sowing, whether it's tending, whether it's pruning, whether it's digging up, it's all designed to produce fruit. Fruit for the glory of God. And God's way is much higher than our ways. Amen. Hallelujah. And same with this church community. I want to tell you, church, I'm super excited about the next 10, 15 years, about what God's begun to emerge and speak to me and us as a church about. I want to tell you something, that we are right at this moment entering a new season of ministry. A new season is upon us as a church, a season of increase, a season of God's power, God's favor, expansion and growth on the left and the right. I'm declaring today in the atmosphere, over our hearts and souls, we've moved on. We're in a new season. The old is gone and the new is coming. It's happened. And it needed to happen here first. 6 months ago, we're at the World Conference in Cape Town. My wife and I walk in a room, and there's all these prophets and prophetesses. It's a large room. There's little pods, and leaders are getting shuffled through. For some strange reason, Chrissy and I were shuffled right to the front. We got there late, right to the front, and sent us off to this woman I've never met before, Pastor Ramona McGrindle. She and her husband lead a church in Glasgow, Scotland. She's actually South African Indian, her husband's Scottish South African, and they felt called of God. Anyway, never met her before. We sat there and we got a 10-minute prophecy, and it was so accurate. It was so clear, and it was so encouraging. It wasn't for just Chrissy and Richard. It was for us. I wish I could play the audio recording. I could do that technically, but I don't want to take that time. We went through it with our staff, but I can tell you this. The prophecy was so on point in terms of what would come through and what we're moving into. And she said words like this: there's a new terrain that's coming. There's rejoicing and refreshing that is here. The next 15 years is going to be fast-paced. There's expansion like you've never known before. The winds of the Spirit are blowing through the house of God again. God is building and rearranging things for the future. There's new ministries happening. And then we went on to talk about three oaks beginning to rise up, men that I can trust to take things to another level. Very exciting. These details I'm not at liberty to share, but so on the money. And I wanted you to know that. We're beginning now a new season as a church. Praise God for that. God has been faithful, and God will continue to be faithful. Amen. Next week, I'll give you more details about what that looks like. Next week, if people from your Connect group are not here today, invite them, tell them to come along. You need to hear what's going on, what our church family is about going to be doing. Amen? Amen? Why don't we stand to our feet? Praise Jesus. Let's lift the hands to the Lord, and just as a sign of surrender. Lord, you are faithful. You're faithful in our lives. Lord, as we sang earlier on, you're faithful. We acknowledge all things from you. Even the breath that we breathe right now, it's from you. We love you. We honor you. You are our strong and mighty tower. But you're also the one who gives us a commissioning of the Spirit to advance the kingdom of God, to go beyond. So today, as we stand here, by the authority invested in me as a senior pastor of this church, We say, God Almighty, here we are. Use us for your glory. Lord, I pray for a great mighty awakening in our hearts afresh, a stirring of the Spirit, Lord God, to rise up like Habakkuk did into the watchtower to begin to see. Lord, I'm praying you'd stir us, Lord God. Lord, you just break down walls of passivity. Lord, we begin to have dreams and visions personally, but even corporately aligned together, that we as a church would go on and on and on into expansion and growth. Lord, not so we can say, wow, look at us and compare. No, to reach souls for the glory of the Christ Jesus, the one who died and rose again. Lord, we thank you for the sake of the gospel. Lord, would you cause a great kingdom burden to begin to, Lord, place itself upon all of our hearts. Lord God, and begin to realize there's a reason we're breathing, there's a reason we're present. Lord, a kingdom, a gripping kingdom vision for all of our lives, individually and corporately. Father, help us, give us wisdom and courage to take risks, to step out, to be unified, to say, yes, use me for your glory. Lord, bless this congregation, bless Hamilton, bless Rotorua, and bless the other churches that may be still in a gestation period that you want to plant and launch from this place. Cause leaders to be raised up. Lord, let the people of God own this place and serve and give faithfully. May we all grow old and look back and say, God did amazing things. Lord, we love you today, Jesus, in your beautiful name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. To know more about Every Nation Auckland City, you can visit our website, www.everynationauckland.city. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.